Hello and welcome to this podcast. My name is Jez Wells and I'm an audio and recording engineer, and I also teach music technology at the University of York. For the last 11 months, I've been a public engagement fellow with the Royal Academy of Engineering. During that time, I've been investigating the extent to which sound recording can really be considered an example of engineering. I've been talking to professional sound recordists, sound recording students, and those that teach them about what they think the work that they do actually is. Ultimately, the project is about public engagement, and I want to help bring a greater understanding of both recording and engineering to anyone who wants to find out more. To that end, I've been giving public lectures and demonstrations, writing and blogging about my own experiences in recording and audio research, but also about what I'm learning from this project. This podcast is part of that engagement. The idea is that for the next 10 or 15 minutes, I'm going to give you an overview of a very commonly used process in recording and mixing: panning. In a nutshell, panning is the use of electronic or digital tools to move sounds between the loudspeakers, or maybe even outside of them. The word pan is just a shortening of panoramic, and the pan pot, which is a small control for positioning sounds on each channel of a mixer or of an audio workstation program like Reaper or Cubase, that control is, to give it its full name, a panoramic potentiometer. For many people, this is a simple and intuitive control. You move it one way and the sound moves in that direction towards one loudspeaker. You move it the other way and the sound moves in the opposite direction towards the other loudspeaker. But how is this effect actually being achieved? Is there only one way in which the apparent position of a sound can be changed? Or are there different techniques that can be used? When we play a sound out of two loudspeakers, why do we hear one phantom sound emanating from in between the speakers rather than two versions of the same sound coming from the loudspeaker's actual positions? These are some of the questions I'm going to attempt to answer over the next 10 to 15 minutes. For all of the demonstrations that you'll hear, I'm using FranPan, an audio processing software plugin which I've produced as part of this Is Recording Engineering project. You can download this plugin for free from my website or via the project blog. It's a Steinberg VST format plugin and is currently available for PC. To find the blog, just type Is Recording Engineering into Google, and it should appear first in the list of web pages that Google returns. Once you've found the blog, have a look for the post on panning. Alternatively, go to www.jezwells.org and look in the computer music tools section. You don't need the plugin to listen to this podcast, but if you want to repeat some of the demonstrations that you'll hear, that plugin and some host software to go with it is all you'll need. This podcast is designed for listening over loudspeakers. Two of them, ideally of the same type and positioned in front of you. One to your right and the other to your left. The best arrangement is to think of an equilateral triangle with your head at one of the points facing into the triangle, with one loudspeaker on each of the other two points facing towards you. The length of the sides of this equilateral triangle depends on the size of the room and other factors, but 1.5 meters is typical. This podcast definitely isn't designed for headphones. You'll get some impression of the things that I'm talking about, but the stereo effects that I want to cover here are what we hear over loudspeakers rather than what we hear over headphones. The big difference between headphone and loudspeaker listening is that the signals from each loudspeaker are heard by both ears. The left speaker signal is heard at the left ear, and then, a few milliseconds later, and sounding duller because of the shadowing effect of the head, it is heard at the right ear too. With headphone listening, the left signal is only heard by the left ear, and the right signal is only heard by the right ear. This means that when we listen on headphones to standard stereo signals, we tend to hear sounds as emanating from within the head. But on loudspeakers, we hear sounds coming from the space in between and sometimes beyond those speakers. There is a type of stereo signal called binaural, which is designed for headphone listening, but that's not the focus of this session. So, loudspeakers it has to be. Right, we'll get started. Since this podcast began, you've been hearing my voice via a single microphone. And the signal from that microphone has been sent to both your loudspeakers at the same time and with the same amount of energy. In other words, the source is panned centrally. As you sit between your speakers, you should hear a single version of my voice appearing to come from a point halfway between the speakers. We refer to this as a phantom source. That's because there's no actual sound-making object at the location where the sound of my voice appears to be coming from. By far the most prevalent form of moving mono sounds, such as that of my voice, between two speakers, is what is known as amplitude or level panning. To take an extreme example of this, we can set the signal level to zero in one speaker, whilst retaining its level in the other speaker. This is what is happening now. You should perceive that my voice is coming from the right speaker because the level of the signal coming from the left speaker has been reduced to zero. It probably comes as no surprise that when a signal is only coming from one loudspeaker, that speaker does indeed appear to be the source of the sound. What we can do with a pan control is vary the difference in level between the two speakers so that the phantom source appears to move from one speaker to the other in a smooth trajectory. So how is it that by varying the difference in level between the two real sound sources, the two loudspeakers, we create the impression of a single phantom source moving in between them? Well, ultimately it's because the two loudspeakers produce acoustic signals which, when they arrive at our left and right ear and combine with each other as they are doing so, they resemble, to a greater or lesser extent, the signals which would arrive at our ear from a single source at some point in between the speakers. When we hear a sound from a single source, our ear-brain combination looks for, amongst other things, differences in timing and differences in level at each ear. If the sound arrives at the right ear first, and it is brighter in that ear, that means the sound is to the right of the head. I say brighter because at low frequencies the head has no effect on the progress of sound waves produced by an object. But at high frequencies, the size of the head is significant compared to the wavelengths of these components of the sound, and so it acts as a baffle and creates an acoustic shadow, meaning that high frequencies are reduced in level, making the sound more dull or less bright at the farther ear. If the sound is louder in one speaker than the other, then due to the shadowing effect of the head, the sound at the corresponding ear will be brighter. Also, at low frequencies, when differing amounts of the sound from each speaker combine at each ear, this has the effect of making the phases of the frequency components within the sound different at each ear. At low frequencies, these phase differences between ears are interpreted as timing differences, which are exactly what occur between the ears when an object making a sound is closer to one ear than the other. So these two effects combine to give the impression of a single sound source moving around the head, rather than that of two static sound sources, the loudspeakers, getting louder or quieter relative to each other. So that's how amplitude panning works, and as I said, most panners operate on that principle. But that's not the only way in which a sound can be moved around in the space between two speakers. The other thing that we can do is to introduce a delay between them. Now, if that delay between them is long, such as the 100 milliseconds delay here, then our brain clearly interprets this delay as a second audio event, which is a repetition or an echo of the first. But if we make the delay much smaller, say 3 milliseconds, then we hear a single fused event, as we are now. But the sound now appears to be coming from the left-hand side because it is the left speaker the sound is emitted from first. Now, as the delay is smoothly adjusted from 3 milliseconds to zero, and then to 3 milliseconds in the other direction, then we hear the apparent source moving from left to right. I'll just do that again, but count from 1 to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
7,
8, 9, 10. Now I'll do the same thing, but this time I'll use level panning. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Can you hear that the same overall effect is produced, but the quality of the sound and its spatial positioning is different for the delay panning compared to the level panning? When two similar sounds are very close together in time, less than about 50 milliseconds, then our auditory system merges them into one perceived event. This is helpful to us because it prevents us thinking that more than one person is speaking to us when there is just one person, but in a space where their voice is being reflected from many different surfaces and so is arriving at our ears many different times within a short period. When repeated and delayed sounds are merged together in this way, our ear-brain combination uses what is known as the law of the first arriving wavefront to determine the position of the source. In other words, the direction which is attributed to the sound source is that direction from which the sound arrived at the ears first. In the case of someone speaking, this is the sound which travels directly from that person's mouth to the ears of the listener, rather than the reflected paths from walls and floors and ceiling, which are longer than that path, and so take longer to arrive at the ear. Time delay panning exploits this effect. However, the signals that time delay panning produces at each ear are not as close as those that we would get for a single source between the speakers as they are for level panning. In other words, level panning produces a better illusion of a single source. Time delay pan sources can have an ambiguous phantom source position compared to level panning, but there can be more three-dimensionality about their movement. The source positions are often ambiguous or not very well defined because different types of sound produce different directional cues for time delay panning. If I click my fingers and delay pan to the right by 3 milliseconds, the sound appears to come from a different direction than if I pan the sound of my whistling using the same 3 millisecond delay. Just have a listen to that. So does this mean that we shouldn't use time delay panning? Well, it all depends on the kind of effect that you want. It may not always be the case that a well-defined position in space is what you're after. And there are some other advantages to using time delay panning too. But, as you've just heard, if precise localization of sound is what you're after, then level-based panning is the way to go. Of course, we could combine the two and use both level and timing differences to produce a panning effect. And this is something that you can do quite easily with the FranPan plugin. We can also produce conflicting cues, making a sound higher in level, but later in one loudspeaker, and lower in level, but earlier in the other loudspeaker. This is what's happening now, and as you can hear, this is a confusing combination for our ears and brain, and tends to lead to a very ambiguous, or even split image of the sound source's position. But it is a handy way of spatially thickening mono sounds if that's an effect that you're after. Okay, that's it. A very quick tour of two different ways to do panning. Remember that you can reproduce all of these effects using the FranPan plugin, which is freely downloadable. Just go and check out the Is Recording Engineering blog. Thanks for listening, and happy panning.